Wednesday of the fifth week of Lent, the reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And we see King Nebuchadnezzar build a golden statue, which is really the projection of his own ego. And he calls it my God. And those who will not serve my God, the golden statue, will be sent to the fiery furnace. Well, the three young men, the Jews, three young Jews, they will not do that. They were willing to be burned alive rather than to reject the true God. Now, that means being burned alive. It doesn't happen overnight that a person comes to this courage. It's a way of life, so that we learn in this particular instances of our life to do what we know that God wants, even when it causes us a lot of pain because it goes against our ego. And oftentimes we just don't do that. And this is the way we fail God, in the particular instances when our pride or our anger or our attitude makes us stubborn to resist what really comes from God. But if those three young men are amazing, I think it's also amazing that King Nebuchadnezzar, when he sees those men in the fire and they're not being burnt, he is amazed. And he blesses the true God. He says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver his servants who trusted in him. And he honors them because they disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. But it could have turned out in a different way. It could have turned out that they actually get burnt. Jesus was really crucified and he died, and the martyrs truly die. Well, the call of this word for us today is, I think, twofold. One is our courage to suffer with the Lord the trials that come, and the other is to be able to acknowledge the true God when he is present, when he speaks, and not deny it. So how does this compare today with the gospel, which is John chapter 8? We see the Lord saying to the Jews, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. That's a condition. You have to keep in my word and remain in my word. And this will bring you to the truth. And the truth will set you free. From what? From the lies that we live by. That's what the truth does. It exposes the lies within us, and it opens the way for us to truly change. But that's very hard to do. So what do we do instead? We entrench ourselves into our mode where we are, and we just claim, oh, but we are descendants of Abraham. You see, we shield ourselves with a pretended devotion to Abraham to feel that we're religious and pious. And then they say to Jesus, how can you say you will become free? Like, we are not sons of a prostitute. We are sons of Abraham. And so there's nothing that we have to be set free from. But Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. So he's telling them, you see, you're sinners, and so you are slaves, even if you claim to be descendants of Abraham. And then he says, if the Son frees you, then you will truly be free. But you see, they don't want to hear this. they want to believe that they are okay already. And this is the sad thing when we don't grow, because we don't acknowledge that we are sinners and we have to do some difficult work, painful work of going to that sin and recognizing it and repenting. So Jesus tells him, my word has no room among you. And then they keep on claiming, our father is Abraham. And then Jesus says, you are doing the works of your father. This is tremendous. Who is your father then? Satan. That's what he's telling them. You're not sons of Abraham. You're sons of Satan. Because you want to kill me. Because you hate me. And if you loved Abraham, if you loved God, then you would not do that. So they're doing the work of the father, Satan, which is to hate Jesus and want to kill him. Then instead of saying that they're son of Abraham, now they say, we have one father, God. And Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, you would love me. How does that apply to us? Well, if God is truly our father, we love the correction of the Lord. We love when Jesus exposes us and humbles us, and we thank him for that, and we persevere. That's what it means. And finally, the Lord says, I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus came forced or that he did not want to come. What it simply means is that everything he desires is what the Father desires. And so the Father wants him to come, and he wants to come to us because the Father sent him. God bless you.